Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Kovacs here, and our Mishnah we'll be learning, pre-recorded for Simchat Torah, is in Chapter 8, above Metzia, Mishnayot 5 and 6. Hamocher Zeitov La'etim. Someone is selling his olive trees to become firewood. Now, it's important to keep in mind, we don't just cut down fruit trees. That's actually a verse in the Torah, in Devarim, Chapter 20. Ki adam eitz hasadeh, there's a very mystical connection between people and trees. We do not ruin or cut down fruit trees. However, if they're no longer bearing fruit, they're quite old, there's not a lot of yield, it would be allowed, if you could make more money from the firewood than the fruit, to cut down the trees. However, this is not a psak halacha. Consult your local Orthodox tree expert for practical rulings. Anyway, someone is selling his old olive trees for firewood. Ve'asu, and before they actually got cut down, they actually grew a little bit more olives. Asu pachot merviyit l'seya. They made less than a revit, that's a liquid measurement, a fourth of a log, per seya of olives. So it's not a lot of olive oil coming out of these olives off this old tree. Hare elu shobal hazetim. This small amount of oil belongs to the guy who bought the trees. Even though he bought them for firewood before he cut them down, he was able to get a little bit of olive oil out of them, even though not a lot, so he gets to keep it. The Barnura points out from the Gemara that this is a case where they just said, yeah, you can cut them for firewood, where the landowner, the original owner of the trees, didn't give a time limit. He didn't say, come cut them right away or come cut them at a certain point. He just left it open, so by the time he came and cut them, there was a little bit of olives and a little bit of oil. But the Mishnah adds, asu revit l'seya, if the yield was actually a revit or more, per every seya of olive, so it's actually considered a significant amount. Ze omer zeiti gidlu. He says the olive trees I bought is what grew these olives in this oil. Ze omer, but the landowner, the original owner, says artsi gidla. My land, the wealth and the nourishment of my land contributed to the growth of these new olives. Then yachloku, they divide the proceeds. Now, interestingly, this is not the yochloku we've seen before in yesterday's learning, where it was a doubt, where they weren't really sure if they had sold the bigger field or bought the bigger field, and they both had a doubt. We said yochloku, but we said that the halacha is not like that. But here, the halacha really is like this, because if there's a significant amount of growth before the trees are cut down, yes, this growth is due to both the trees and the dirt. And here the buyer owns the trees themselves, while the original owner, the landowner, owns the dirt underneath. The Mishnah goes on, Shatuf Nahar Zeitav, if the river flooded over its banks and washed some olive trees downstream, and Tatam Latoch Sadechaveru, and actually replanted them within the border of his neighbor's field, Zeomer Zeitoy Gidlu. And they grew some olive oil. So the first one says, hey, it's my trees, my tree that got washed away by the flood. That's what grew those olives. Zeomer artsi gidla. And the new owner, the new field, the neighbor, he says, no, it's my land that provided the nourishment to grow these olives. Yachloku. They would split the proceeds from the olive oil. In the Gemara, they explain the case. The Kahati brings it that really the trees were washed downstream with some of the dirt, with enough dirt from the original field to survive. So that the old owner says, listen, if they had washed off all the dirt, you would have had to plant new trees anyway because of Orla, because the first 3 years we cannot eat the fruit. Remember, the fourth year is Karen Revai, we mentioned a little while ago. So here they were swept down with some dirt attached, so the count of Orla did not start over. So it's partially due to the time that these olive trees had spent growing up in the first field that the second owner is now able to enjoy some of the fruit. So at least for the first 3 years, the original owner is a contributor to whatever olives and olive oil these trees are yielding. But after that, after they've already been there for 3 years, the new owner can say, listen, I could have planted trees 3-4 years ago anyway and been enjoying the olive oil right now. So then the original owner doesn't have any right to the part of the produce of the relocated trees. And we're going to talk about this in detail in a little while when we get to Masechet Orla. It has its own Mishnayos on this. Let's go to Mishnah Vav here. Maskir Bait L'Chavero. Somebody's renting out a house to someone else. Bimotu Geshomim. If it's in the wintertime, Eino Yechol L'Hatzio. He can't evict the renters during the rainy season. How far is that? Minachag. Bar Hashem, from the Chag of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, Ad Pesach, up until Nisan, up until Pesach time. During this time, it's hard to get a new rental, it's rainy, it's hard to move, so the renters cannot be evicted. Bimot Achama, in the sunny season, the dry season, Shloshim Yom, is required to give 30 days notice. The Mefarshim point out, it's also the other direction. If the renter wants to leave the rental property, they need to give notice. Ubekrochim, and in big cities. Now, in big cities, there's a lot of demand for real estate and apartments. As you might know, if you're trying to buy a place in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim especially. So, Echad Yimot Achama, Echad Yimot Hashamim, whether it's the dry season or the rainy season, Shnem Asar Chodesh. You need 12 months advance notice to cancel the lease or that the renter is going to be leaving to find a new property. Uvachanuyot, and for shops, for a makolot, a commercial property, echad ayarot, echad krochim, whether it's in a big city or a town, shnem asar chodesh. They need 12 months to wrap up their business and find a suitable business location. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, he adds, chanut shel nachtomim. If it's a bakery, shel tzboim, or a diary, where, not the diary you write on, the diary where they dye items, shalosh shanim. They actually need 3 years. The Barnura brings because their hekef, their line of credit is meruba, is very long. So the idea is they have a big supply chain and they place orders well in advance and they give their customers years to pay for their items. So it might take them a while to get paid for all of the orders that they've filled and to get all the materials that they've ordered. So they really need 3 years to wrap up their business and relocate them. Other Mefarshim say that it's also difficult to find a suitable commercial location for large ovens with supplies of firewood and fresh water and all of the things that a bakery or a dyeing industry would need. Our sages do teach us, as an aside, that in the future, in the Imot HaMashiach, Yerushalayim will be massively expanded. It will be much larger, so I think that we'll all be able, God willing, to afford real estate in Yerushalayim at that point. Chag Sameach.